This morning we begin a new biweekly series entitled Falling Into Place. The series will spotlight the important work of and foster collaboration between not-for-profit organizations, allowing us all to fall into place. Falling Into Place is supported by the Seymour Fox Memorial Foundation, providing a helping hand to turn inspiration into accomplishment. See more possibilities, see more promise, see more progress. This week, we'll learn about Hixney. Hixney empowers modern healthcare by improving the way in which the healthcare community and patients access, analyze, and collaboratively act upon patient-specific information. Hixney is a not-for-profit based in Albany, New York, recognized leader in population health management support. Hixney supports care coordination of more than 1.6 million patients in the Capital District, Northern New York, as well as the Mohawk Valley. Scott Monroe is vice president of Hixney. He joins us now to tell us about the organization and their patient portal. And it's a great pleasure to have you here for our maiden voyage.
Thank you, Joe. I'm so glad to be here. And a special thank you to the Seymour Fox Foundation for making this possible.
Absolutely. We're thrilled for the partnership and thrilled to be able to shed light on these wonderful organizations and groups such as yourself working very, very hard in our region and in our communities. Let's talk. So I said, usually one of the first questions I try to ask is when I don't understand words, when you put them together. So here we go. A national leader in population health management support. What does that mean?
So what Hixney does, Joe, is really two things. One is we connect all of the hospitals, the provider practices, the health plans in the community to exchange health records. What we do is we aggregate for an individual patient all of their records into one place so that a provider can access all of that information, a 360-degree view of that patient on demand, so they can make more informed decisions, better coordinate care, and to enable all of the relevant information for diagnosis to be available at the point of service at the time of treatment.
So how did Hixney come about?
So Hixney came about in around the year 2000. It was a place for leaders in the health organizations in this region to collaborate. They wanted to talk about how to mobilize this kind of information. Fortunately, New York State made some grants available that really enabled us to erect the health information exchange and bring in the technology that's required to make these services possible.
So this is the thing. We have the technology, right? It's just how we use the technology to make sure that everybody is on the same page. So how do you ensure that?
So think about it. Years ago, I remember going to my primary care provider's office, and there was a wall of files, and my health records were in the file cabinet.
Right.
Now providers have electronic medical record systems, so they have records in a computer system. The challenge was providers didn't have the ability to exchange records or to get records from other facilities. It required a lot of phone calls, faxes, and it took a lot of time to make those records available. Now, with the computing power, we have the ability to understand what's happening with a patient across all of the connected entities in the region, the hospitals, the physicians, the primary care specialists, so on and so forth, so that all a provider has to do is, through their electronic medical record system or through a portal, just pull that patient's community record, and they have all of the information, allergies, medication history, results, so on and so forth, available from all of the connected facilities, not just their own.
Don't tease me, Scott. Does this mean I don't have to fill out that form that I always have to fill out when I go to the doctor of my medicine, whether my mother had, scurvy, all that stuff?
There's two things we're trying to decommission across the region. One is the clipboard, where you have to fill out those forms every time, even if you were just there a few weeks before. The other is the fax machine. We're trying to retire the fax machine so that information can move securely through the internet to the providers that are authorized to have access to this information on behalf of the patients.
So in reading about your organization and doing my homework for this segment, one of the questions that I had, and I think I came up with an answer, but I want you to give it. So who is in charge of making sure, you're providing the portal, right? You're providing the framework for this to happen. So who makes sure ultimately that it happens for me, Joe Donahue, and my records?
So there's two things we do, and I wanted to finish my thought from before.
One Absolutely.
We mobilize information for the provider so they have access. The second thing we do is we make that community health record available to the patients themselves or their caregivers through HCSNY4U for the portal. Our job is to work with all of the participants, so the, again, the hospitals, practices, and other providers, so that their systems are connected, so the information flows into the exchange, the health information exchange platform. It's our responsibility to make sure that information is secure and that authorized users have access through their electronic medical record system or through the portal. Now, if you're a consumer, our job is also to make sure that the consumer has access or their proxy to the community health record as well.
And is it, do you opt in? If you're the consumer and you want to do that, or if you're a technophobe and don't want that, I mean, do you have the choice?
So this is a New York State consent model. So there's, I should mention that HCSNY is one of nine regional health information organizations across the state. We each have a specific region. Ours is 19 counties, including the capital region, Northern New York and Mohawk Valley. All of the information, once the systems are connected, is available to the providers. The patient, though, has to consent to each organization so that the providers can gain access. So it's not an opt-in or opt-out. It's consent to access.
Okay. So the information's there. Whether you want to use it or not is up to you.
Exactly.
Okay. Let's do this scenario. So I go to my primary care physician, I get my annual physical, they put that information into the portal. And then I have to go see a specialist. I have to go see a cardiologist, and I sit down in the cardiologist, and the cardiologist would then have access to that information. Is that immediate access?
So there's different ways we support access to information. One way is that pull query where, let's say you present to the emergency room, the provider doesn't know you're coming.
Yep.
They have the ability to put in your name and access your record if you've consented. The other way, providers can actually transmit records in advance. So let's say, go back to your scenario, you go to your primary care and then you're referred to a specialist, in this case a cardiologist. The primary care physician can actually transmit a portion of your record or all of your record to that referred to that other provider so that that information is already landed there and the provider can access that information prior to your visit.
So we've all been to a doctor's, I assume we all have. I think most of us, anyone over 30, I think, has had this, where you go to the doctor, and then you go to the specialist, and then they say, oh, did you have this test? And you said, yes, I did have that test. And they say, oh, well, I don't see those results here. So this would alleviate that.
That's one of our goals. There's a few things we're trying to do. One is promote operational efficiency, which means less time to get access to records for that provider staff. They do spend a lot of time, faxes, phone calls. We're trying to reduce that. But the
right.
other piece is we don't want folks being subjected to redundant or unnecessary testing. It's not a healthy thing for the patients. It's a time waster for the patients, but also it adds additional cost to our overall healthcare system. We're trying to reduce that additional cost.
So if you have the one test, or now is how are the insurance companies then involved? How do you work with the insurance companies?
So HCSNY is a unique collaborative. We have the insurance, we have the health plans, we have the hospitals, the provider practices, consumer advocates. We have all of these folks at our table collaborating. The health plans are obviously very interested in what we're doing because they want to improve care coordination. And the way to do that is to make sure that the providers in the community who are providing excellent care have all of the information they need about that patient, and they can make quick decisions and refer patients and so on and so forth. The health plans are very interested in improving that care coordination, but also simultaneously reducing that unnecessary cost in the system.
It seems to me that there is so much of our healthcare system is networked. If you go into this network or that network, or this is this organization or through this hospital. So is your job, as this all gets underway, as you said, since 2000, is going into this these various organizations and saying, this is who we are, this is what we do, and you should be a part of this?
Yes, HCCNY really ramped up around 2007 because of those grants, and we spent between about 2007 and 2012 having all of those outreach conversations in earnest and really talking about the value of being part of this collaborative and participating. And participating to those organizations means not only contributing the data, but gaining access for their providers right in their workflow, and also participating in the collaborative as we work through different challenges, like rolling out that consent model we talked about and educating all of the consumers and the providers about that. So that's something we've done. We continue to do that. Fortunately for us in this region, we have 100% of the hospitals across 19 counties are connected. We have about 70% of the physicians are now connected, and we're continuing to work to connect the remaining providers in the community.
So about 2 years ago, I'm getting ready to go on vacation. And one of the things, you do the walk around the house to make sure everything's okay, and I realize that there's a hornet's nest up on the shed. So I go get the spray, I spray it, and the hornet comes right down and stings my finger. Okay, it's only a hornet. I will live, right? So I get on the plane. We go to California. It's about the third day when I feel that my hand is going to fall off. So I go to an urgent care facility in Anaheim, California, and they tell me, "I'm sorry, we can't see you because your insurance office is closed on the East Coast." Okay, and. So then I realized that there was only a window of about 2 hours that I could go get health services without paying it out of pocket because of that. Does anything like this, meaning that will we eventually have a system where you can go anywhere in the country and they will have access to your medical records?
Well, that's the vision at the national level as well as the state level. So there's work at the Office of the National Coordinator. That's ONC. ONC is working to enable connectivity across the country. In New York, HCCNY is connected to a statewide health information network. So all of the information that's flowing from all of those connected hospitals, provider practices, and other ancillary providers is available to people in other regions of New York State. So if the provider queries their local system, it will call to the state health information network, and that would essentially access records in our region if that patient has indeed records in our region. The next step would be to make that available to connectivity across the country and other states.
Okay, I just want to pause you for a moment. And when you say query, is that done, are you speaking to a person or are you putting in access codes that allow you to access the information that you need?
So this would be at the, let's say there's a patient that's from this region that needs access to services in New York City.
Yes.
Let's say they're on vacation, example. When they go to that hospital,
less hornets there.
Less hornets, hopefully.
Right.
the provider would be able to pull up that patient's record. The statewide health information system says, okay, we know there's records in Albany. Let's bring those records back to that provider in Manhattan. And that all happens electronically through secure authorization of that provider and that hospital in Manhattan. So that's the beauty of the connectivity, is it makes it seamless to the providers. The other thing I wanted to mention, the other piece I wanted to highlight, is the HCCNY for You, which is that patient portal. So the patient has access to all of those records as well. And right now we have access through their laptop, through their home computer, but also their mobile device, their phone.
Yes.
So one of the things the patient could do, in your example in California, is you could pull up your health records on your phone and you could either show those to the provider, so you'd see your lab results, your medication history, allergies, and all that other important information.
Right.
The other thing that's happening now is there's a protocol to enable exchange of information called Direct. Think of it as a secure email for health information. So if that hospital has a Direct address, it's kind of like an email address, and the ability to actually, you can actually, from our patient portal, you can transmit your health record to another provider using that Direct address. So if that hospital in California had the ability to catch that information, you could actually transmit it right from your cell phone so they would have your record.
And And then once they do, again, let's just use the analogy. So then that hospital in California, then they say, oh, well, we now have found he's allergic to this, this, and this. They can add that information, and then that gets fired back. So eventually this all gets put into the system.
The you know, when you think about connecting the nation, the challenge, of course, is that there's different levels of connectivity across different states, and then even within pockets of different states. New York, California, Texas, and other states are leaders on this front. New York felt it was very important to have a connected community. We are obviously working to connect other neighboring states so that information can flow across our neighboring states. When you think about our patient population, most of the services are accessed right here in the Capital District and our surrounding areas, Northern New York, so on and so forth. We do have patients that go across to Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, also down to Manhattan, Boston, so on and so forth. So for our patient population, the 1.6 million people that live in our region, we're looking where do they seek services and focusing on those connections first. That's our priority.
Scott Monroe is the vice president of Hixney and joins us to tell us more about the organization, part of our Falling Into Place segment. We are going to take a quick break, and then we will continue our conversation with Scott and find out a little bit more. We're going to be talking about proxy and some other interesting aspects of this. It's our Falling Into Place segment. We will continue with Scott Monroe right after this short break. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our Falling Into Place segment. It's our inaugural segment, and we're thrilled, thanks to the support from the Seymour Fox Memorial Foundation, to do this and to spotlight these wonderful organizations, not-for-profit organizations in our communities. We're talking about Hixney this morning. Hixney supports care coordination of more than 1.6 million patients in the Capital District, Northern New York, as well as the Mohawk Valley. You look at their map, and it's pretty much the entire right-hand side of New York State, with the exception of the city. Scott Monroe is vice president of Hixney. He joins us and has been with us to talk about this organization. One of the things I want to get into how patients use this and proxy and all of that. One of questions when it comes to people using the system is, have you found in the last 7 or 8 years since you really got up and running that there is a trust issue, meaning that some of us just have... We kind of assume that the information isn't going to be there. We just assume that something is going to be lost. We just assume that when they say they're going to call into the pharmacist, that they haven't called into the pharmacist, and they're going to have to harangue to get that. Do you sense that?
Well, I think that's one of the reasons why the leaders in this community in the healthcare environment felt it was important to automate these processes and make this information available electronically, to reduce human error. One of the challenges with using the paper system in the past and faxing information, often faxes went to the wrong place. They were left on the fax machines. People didn't have access to that information. People had the wrong charts. Charts got lost. The idea of making this available electronically is to make sure that that information's available exactly where it needs to be when the provider needs it. So that's an area. As it relates to trust, there's another aspect of trust I wanted to just comment on. We talked a little bit in the earlier segment about consent.
Yes.
So the patient going to the facility and consenting to have providers in that particular organization have access. In the beginning, we were wondering what that trust factor would look like. I'm very pleased to announce that over 95% of patients, when asked to consent, are providing that consent. In some facilities, it's close to 100%. So it's much higher than actually the state anticipated in the rollout of this back in 2007, 2008.
That's great news. And we can assume that part of that is because they see the benefit in the back end of eventually when they need this information, they'll have access to it.
And the other part of it is they trust their providers.
So for people who are listening to us right now, Scott, how do they get started? How do they get to be a part of this system?
Well, In the beginning, we wanted to make sure the information was going to be available, and that's where we focused. Now we're turning our attention to the consumers. I am pleased. We've been doing part to the wonderful grant that we received from the Seymour Fox Foundation to get our patient portal out in the community. We now have over 5,500 consumers that currently have access today, and it's growing every month. There's six hospitals including Ellis Medicine, Saratoga Hospital, Nathan Littower, up in Plattsburgh, CVPH, Columbia Memorial, Adirondack Medical Center, and Saranac, that are enabling their patients to access the portal today. There's 20 physician practices and growing. But we also recognize that not all of the patients in your listening area go to those specific facilities. So if you go to hixney.org, there's a patients tab. And in that patients tab, there's an enrollment form. You download that enrollment form, complete it. You do have to have it notarized, and I'll explain in just a minute, and then you mail it in. The reason for the notary is we need to make sure that these records are secure, and we don't want somebody downloading that form, saying they're somebody who they're not, and then requesting that access to that system. We need to make sure the notary validates that person's and verifies that person's identity, and then sends that in, so we know that when we give that account that it's indeed the person that has requested it.
Does that include a healthcare proxy, somebody, if I am basically in charge of my mother or father's records, of how that works?
Absolutely. If you're a caregiver, if you're a legal proxy, there is a mechanism to do the same thing, to have access to those records. And actually, one of the things that we're thinking about down the road is we have the ability, as soon as a patient is transferred or a new event occurs, to actually transmit an alert to that patient or to their proxy. I mean, your patient knows what's happening, but the proxy, that's a new use case where we could actually, down the road, we're going to be able to send messages to say, hey, something's changed with your loved one.
I know you have a segment in the website of frequently asked questions, and one of them is of how do you report inaccuracies. So if for some reason it says that I'm allergic to penicillin and I'm not, then is that like a credit report that you will never get rid of it? Or how do you get rid of that so that the next time someone will actually give me penicillin that I need?
It's a great question. And if you think about all of these systems providing information, they don't always provide the same picture of the patient when they send in the information. So two hospitals could say no known drug allergies, and one reports that you have a penicillin allergy, for example. And one of the things we do for the providers is we unveil all of the known information. We don't reconcile that. We make sure that the providers and the patients have access to that information. If a patient does feel that there's something inaccurate, they need to call the provider that actually submitted that information, and we make that available in the patient portal so they know who's transmitted specific data elements. If they feel it's inaccurate, you need to call the provider so they can rectify that in their source system, in that electronic medical record or that hospital system, so that when it's retransmitted to HCSNY, it actually starts to purge that inaccuracy as it goes through the exchange.
Well, there's a lot of wonderful information here, and I want to urge folks to take a look and find out more. It's hixney.org, so that's hixny.org, hixney.org, and you can find out more information and answer all your questions, and I'm sure they can contact you as well to find out more information. Contact Hixney and find out.
Absolutely. The information's right on our website.
Excellent. It's hixney.org. Scott Monroe, I thank you very much for being with us this morning for this inaugural outing of Falling Into Place. A great pleasure to have you with us, and thank you for the great work you're doing for the community.
And thank you for getting the word out. We really appreciate it.
Thank you. Falling Into Place is supported by the Seymour Fox Memorial Foundation, providing a helping hand to turn inspiration into accomplishment. See more possibilities, see more promise, see more progress. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.